Hey, let me add my welcome to you this morning. We're delighted to see you in the house of the Lord today. Those that are online, those that are listening on V105, thank you for tuning in today. I invite you to find your place with me in Scripture today in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. As we have experienced through this Christmas season, I've drawn your attention to the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus. The angel came and told Mary, he came and told Joseph that they would have a child, and he said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so we've just spent several Sundays reflecting on the name of Jesus. I know that he's called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Prince of Peace and all that, but Jesus is his name. All of those adjectives about him describe who this Jesus is. But I really want you to understand and meet the person of Jesus. You know, names are significant. There's always that first, right? If you are a tech person, you can look it up. There's a name of a company that was the first domain name in the World Wide Web, okay? You can find that name, and it's recorded, and it's the first one that ever was. According to Guinness's World Book of Records, the longest personal name ever recorded was a man by the name of Hubert Blaine. And you think, well, that's not a very long name. Well, that's just his first two names. I want you to see his full name this morning. It's 747 letters. You got to get to PhD level before you can even spell your name, you know? Look at that name. I asked Jeannie to make a slide for this, to put this up this morning, because I want you to see this. And she said, when we do worship and we do the songs, the words to the songs, she said, we do those in like a 48 font. She said, I've got to reduce this to like a 16 or 18 font to get it all on one screen. That's how long this name is. Think about this. What an incredibly long... Adolf, Blaine, Charles, David, Earl, Frederick, and then it just goes into this whatever. Now, after today, you'll probably never remember this name. It just proves the point this morning that doesn't matter how big your name is, doesn't matter how significant your name is, your name can even go down in the record book. And people may not remember your name. But there is a name this morning that the Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Amen? Look with me, if you will, this morning in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, in the 9th verse. He says, therefore, God. Now, anytime we see in Scripture the word therefore, we have to pause and ask ourselves the question, what is therefore, therefore? Okay? And so in the previous verses, Paul points out that Jesus Christ came not finding it to be robbery or anything like that to make himself equal with God. Okay? And so because Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God, even though Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, because of that, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So when we read this passage, we see that Jesus Christ, come in the flesh, born of the Spirit, that God highly exalted him, that God lifted him up above every other person and name. His name is not merely a title. It refers to his person and to his position of dignity and deity and honor and glory. That's the name of Jesus. So when we look at this passage, there's a couple things that we need to consider this morning. First of all, consider the authority given to Jesus. It says here that God highly exalted. Jesus' exaltation, his being lifted up, his being glorified, is actually the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecy. There's a number of Old Testament prophecies that point to this, like Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 23. Read with me. He says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. Daniel, in his vision, in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 4, when his interpretation of the vision there says, then to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Paul says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, he puts it like this. He says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. This is not just some happenstance. It's not just something that God in time looked down at the birth of Christ and said, hey, this looks like somebody that I ought to exalt. No, it has all been prophesied and planned by God that this child, his only begotten son, would be born in due time when God saw fit, and that God would exalt him above every other name and every other child that's ever been born. In John chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus is praying. He says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory, notice this, which I had with you before the world was. Before God ever said, let there be light, there was Jesus. And Jesus was full of glory, just as the Father is full of glory. And now he's left the throne of glory, come to this earth, humbled himself as a man, even to the point of death. But God has exalted him. God has put him back in his right place. And today, he's right at the right hand of the Father, intervening for you and I. And one day, it's coming again. Amen? You see, in biblical times, even in Jesus' day, there were those who questioned who Jesus was and where his position was in society and among religious leaders. And the writer in Hebrews points this out to us. If you go back in the book of Hebrews and notice in chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, it says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Notice this, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Paul says here in Hebrews, he says, Jesus is above all the angels. Some of you want a guardian angel. I want a guardian Jesus. Hello? He has been exalted above all. Now, there were also those who said, well, you know, Moses was our high priest. Moses was our high priest, and Abraham was our father. Well, look what the writer says here in Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 7 in the first verse, it says this. For this Melchizedek, this was a king that was in that day of Abraham, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. So you see all of the parallels? This King Melchizedek in the Old Testament, Abraham goes out, wins this battle, comes back, and he's going to give a tenth of the spoils, a tenth of the winnings, he's going to give to this king. And this king is a foreshadowing of Christ himself. Okay? And Abraham, whom the Jews said is our father, this Abraham acknowledges Melchizedek's kingship. And the writer here points out the fact then that just as Abraham acknowledged that there was someone greater than him, you need to acknowledge that there's someone greater than Abraham. And that one greater than Abraham is not Melchizedek, but it's Jesus Christ himself. He goes on to say in verse 5, "And indeed, those who are of the sons of the Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal man, receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, pays tithes through Abraham, so to speak." So he says, so all of this foreshadowing points to the fact that this one greater than Abraham is who we're to worship. Then he goes on to say that he's exalted above everyone. In Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians in the first chapter, notice what Paul writes there in verse 18. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." He said he has been lifted not only in his day, but in every day. He is above anyone that would ever come. What I'm trying to tell you is that God has given all authority to Jesus Christ. Now let's be honest this morning. We struggle with this little word authority, right? Come on. Come on. Be honest this morning. You're in church, okay? All right? We struggle with this word authority. We want to be in authority, right? We don't want to submit to authority, right? We've got all of these authority figures in our life, and we're all kind of pushing against the authority, right? In the home, we have authority, right? There's the dad, there's the mom, there's the parents, right? They're the authority. You know why we know that they're the authority? Because when they tell a child to do something and the child says, "Why?" Mom and dad says, "Because I said so." Because we're the authority, right? When you go to work, guess what? There's an authority there. There's someone telling you what to do. I remember years ago, my little brother was in the army, and they sent him to Korea. And he was over there in the DMV, and I said, "That's why I'm not in the military. I don't want to go and do something that somebody tells me to do, and I not have any say-so about it." My mom said, "Where do you live right now?" I said, "Well, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia." She said, "Why are you in Atlanta, Georgia?" I said, "Because my company told me to go there." You see, I learned it doesn't matter. Whatever walk of life you're in, there's always somebody over you. I was walking through our church one day. My little granddaughter was with me. And she said, "Pops," she said, "are you the boss here?" I said, "Honey, there's like 600 bosses over me. I'm a servant. I am never a boss here, okay?" Listen, we all want to be in this authority. And we struggle to submit to authority. And God wants us to understand this morning that He has given all authority to Jesus Christ. And we are to submit to that authority. Because it's all been given to Him. Now, maybe this morning you would say, okay, amen, preacher, I got you. Point made, Jesus is the authority. But I will let Him have authority in this area of my life, but I'm going to kind of take control over here. I'll let Him have control of 90%, but I want to keep control of 10%. Or I'll give Him control, let's be real honest, I'll give Him control of 2% and I'll keep 98%, right? No, all authority has been given to Jesus. Notice this passage points out the area that the authority covers. Notice what he says there in verse 10. In verse 10, he goes on to say there, he says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and under the earth. All right, let's kind of break this down. So, you know, according to the law dictionary, jurisdiction is the practical authority granted to a legal body to administer justice, kind of with a defined field of responsibility, so to speak, okay? You have an area, a territory. So some of you old guys, you still, you know, you get up and you spend your Saturdays watching old westerns, right? Come on, be honest, raise your hand, right? You like westerns? And so in the old western shows, the bad guy, he robs a bank, he, you know, robs a train, does whatever. And then the law gets after him. And when the law gets after him, what does he do? He turns and heads where? Come on, are y'all awake this morning? Every Western that's ever been filmed has the same scene, right? He heads to where? Mexico. Some of you guys have been watching these Westerns all this time and you're like, I didn't know that's where they were going. They always want to get to Mexico. Why? Because the law has no jurisdiction in Mexico. It's like they can get across the border and they go, you can't touch me. You know? Listen, we treat God the same way. We're like, God, I'm going to let you have jurisdiction in this area of my life, but I'm going to kind of take control over here. I go to church because that's God's house. And when I go to God's house, I'm going to act like God wants me to. But when I go to my house, I'm going to act like I want to. See the danger when we confine this place to God's house and we don't realize that our body, our heart is the temple of God, that we take Him everywhere we go. So everywhere we go, we're under God's jurisdiction, okay? In fact, here's an interesting case. It was settled just a couple of years ago, 2020. The Supreme Court settled a case out of Oklahoma, Timmy. In Oklahoma, they had a guy that was on a murder charge, but they found the body on an Indian reservation. And the state of Oklahoma was prosecuting this guy for murder. And he had appealed his sentence to the Supreme Court stating that Oklahoma didn't have jurisdiction because the crime took place on an Indian reservation. And the Supreme Court, in fact, ruled that the state of Oklahoma had no jurisdiction over this Indian reservation. Most of Oklahoma is under Indian reservation. And so it fell under federal prosecution. So the federal government had to go back and retry the whole case under federal guidelines rather than the state guidelines because there was a question of jurisdiction. You see, we want to get down in the technicalities, right? Hey, I know I did wrong, but I don't know that this is necessarily like something I did against God. I think it's more something I did against Chris. So this is more like between me and Chris. This isn't really between me and God, right? See, we want to try to break it down. We want to try to narrow God's jurisdiction in our life. But this scripture is very plain. That God has been, that Christ has been given authority over everything in heaven, everything on earth, and everything under the earth. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. He talks about baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice this. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Everything in heaven being made subject to Christ. Here's a passage that'll kind of open your eyes. In Revelation chapter 5 talks about who's going to be worthy to take the scroll. Who has the power to open this scroll? And the Bible says that John wept because there was no one found. But then Christ comes along. And then it says in verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever. All authority in heaven has been given to Jesus. Not only all authority in heaven, but he also says all authority on earth. Luke chapter 4 and verse 36. They were in a boat, and he goes across, and he casts out these demons. And he says in Luke 4:36, then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For all authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. That they're amazed that he has authority over sickness and over death. In Mark chapter 4, verse 41, it says, and they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So again, Jesus demonstrates his authority on everything in the earth. Everything on the earth. But then he says, not only does he have authority over everything in heaven, and everything on earth, but everything under the earth. And preacher, you have to explain that to me. What does he mean when he starts talking about everything under the earth? Here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Jesus Christ descended from heaven. Humbled himself, come in the form of a man, even to the point of death, died, went into the grave, that's under the earth, and he conquered death and the grave. He conquered the power of Satan and everything under the earth. God, Jesus Christ conquered it all. He's rose victorious. Somebody ought to say amen this morning, amen? Come on now. He's given victory to that. In Revelation 20, verse 13, he says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Listen, when death had Lazarus bound in the grave, Jesus came and said, Lazarus, come forth. And I'm telling you, the grave couldn't hold him. The power of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ, demanded that the grave release Lazarus. All power and all authority has been given to Jesus. In Romans 14 and verse 9, it says, for to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Even if you die apart from Christ, you're still going to answer to him. You're still going to give an account to him. Jesus' authority is for all places, at all times, everywhere, eternally. So, here's the question this morning. How do we then acknowledge that He is the name above every name. Even in our own life. It says here in verse 11 of our text. He says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The meaning is that we should all acknowledge Him as the universal sovereign Lord. What is that all? Every one of us. People ask the question all the time, what's God's will for my life? I want to know what God's will for my life is. Can I just tell you universally this morning? God's will for your life is that you live your life in a way that reflects His glory and honor. God's will for your life is to proclaim that He is the Lord of your life. That's God's will for your life. Whether you do that as a ditch digger or whether you do that as a CEO of a company, doesn't matter. God's will for your life is that you acknowledge Him as Lord, that you confess Him as Lord, that you proclaim Him as Lord, and that you live your life as He is Lord of your life. That's what God's will for your life is. The term Lord is the term that's most used in the New Testament to identify Jesus. We call Him Savior, but Lord really is who He is. In fact, when you do a word study in the New Testament, you'll find the word save or the word Savior appears about 24 times in the New Testament. Only 4 times in the 4 Gospels is the word Savior used. The word Lord is used over 600 times in the New Testament. 240 in the 4 Gospels. You see, we treat Jesus as a Savior sometimes. That is, that we want to have Him as our Savior, as our insurance policy. You know, it's like you go out and you buy car insurance and then you drive like a maniac, right? And when you have a wreck, you want the insurance company to pay the damages. Well, we take God and Jesus and we buy this insurance policy. He's our Savior. We kind of put Him in our back pocket. We go out here, we live like hellions, and when our life crashes, we want Him to pay the damages. But to be Savior, you have to confess Him as Lord. You have to allow Him to be the authority in your life. You know, some of these insurance companies now, they have these little gadgets that you plug into your car. And it'll tell you, you know, it'll tell them how fast you drive, how many times you slam on the brakes, how many times you swerve, all these kind of things. And it'll judge your driving, and based on how you drive, you'll get a discount for your insurance. It's amazing, right? Listen, God plugs Jesus into our life. And Jesus then begins to regulate how we live, how we talk, how we think, how we walk, how we react. We allow Him to be the Lord of our life. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, it says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There's oftentimes been, when I was in the workaday world, oh, I believed in God, and He was the Lord of my life. But man, I was in a situation at work where maybe I was a little hesitant, a little reluctant to say something, to intervene, to make a stand. See, if He's Lord of our life, He has to control us in every situation. His jurisdiction is over everything that we do. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. But He's way beyond just a teacher. He's way beyond teacher. He is Lord. There was a passage there in Matthew chapter 10. It says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus asked His disciples one day, He said, who do men say that I am? They said, well, some of them say that you're Elijah. Some of them say you're John the Baptist. Some of them say you're a great prophet. Some of them say you're this or that. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Oh, Peter jumped up. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Simon Bar-John, He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit of God's reveal this to you. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That is, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. So here's our question this morning. You've heard who I say He is. You've heard who others say that He is. But who do you say He is? See the big guy in the sky? See the man upstairs? Or is He Lord? Is He the Christ of your life? Is He the one who is the Lord and the ruler supreme of your life? The name of Jesus is a name above all others. In that, at the end of the times, it'll be the name of Jesus that all people, angelic beings, demons, will all bow down and confess that He is Lord. Here's what Revelation 19 verse 11 says. Now, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He judges and makes war. He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus will come, and He is King of Kings, and He is Lord of Lords. The only question this morning for you is He your Lord? Have you come to a point and place in your life where you said, God, today, with all that I know about myself and all that I understand about myself, God, I'm giving it all over to You. Adrian Rogers says that he came to a point and place in his life where he gave up all that he understood about himself to all that he understood about Christ Jesus, and he confessed his sins. And he said, from that day forward, he said, I've learned a whole lot more about God, and I've learned a whole lot more about myself. And he said, I've repented more after I got saved than before I got saved. You see, it's this growing relationship with God that begins by acknowledging, Lord, I need You. God, there's no other name under heaven by which men might be saved than that of Christ Jesus. So, Lord, today I submit myself to Your authority in my life. And God, from this day forward, I want You to be more Lord today than You were yesterday. God, I pray that You be more Lord tomorrow than You are today. If you began that journey with Christ, man, this Christmas, God wants you to discover that He is Lord, that He is the name that's above every name. Would you bow with me this morning? Would that be your prayer this morning? Say, Pastor, I don't even know really how to put that into words. But this morning, my heart's desire is that I give up and allow Christ to be in control, total control of my life. Father, this morning we love You. God, this morning, You know the hearts and the minds of every individual in this room. Every individual that's watching and listening on the radio. And Father, this morning You've spoken into their hearts. God, I pray this morning, God, that every person in the sound of my voice, God, could answer that question. Yes, He is Lord. God, for those that are struggling this morning, God, for those that have never trusted You to be the Lord of their life, God, they've never surrendered to You, God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And so, God, in this moment, God, I pray that You would speak into hearts. And I pray, God, that people would respond and say yes to You. Father, this morning, I'll be sure to give You the praise and the glory and the honor. We love You, Father, and we ask You all this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation in our closing. This is an opportunity for you to respond. God's presented Himself to you this morning. God's spoken into your heart. Would you just simply say yes to Him today? Say, Preacher, I don't really know how to do that. Listen, we're going to stand and just sing in just a moment. When we do, if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time this morning, I'm going to ask you just to step out from where you're at, make your way forward. Say, Pastor, today I've trusted Christ for the first time. I want to pray with you. I want to help you in your new walk with Christ. Others will be praying for you. And so would you just simply come this morning? This is also an invitation time. Maybe your church membership is somewhere else, man. We'd love to have you come be a part of what God's doing right here at Trinity Baptist Church. And so we invite you to come this morning. Hey, the prayer altars are open. Maybe you came and you trusted Christ and you gave Him your heart, but man, there's been some areas, some territory, some jurisdiction issues. And today you just need to say, God, here it is. Here's all of it. So you come this morning. As we stand and as we sing, come.
Thank you. used to play. Obviously, God's at work. Hearts are tender. Would you just say yes to Him today? Would you not walk away? There's still time. There's still room. Will be here to lead us in a Christmas concert. I met Andrew several years ago. I've had him in previous churches three or four times, and just a phenomenal guy. Loves the Lord, and so I promise you, man, we're expecting like 200 people here tonight. That's like double what we have right now, okay? So that means we need you to bring like double food to help so we can have fellowship afterwards, all those kinds of things, you know. We don't want broken fellowship, right? You know, broken fellowship's when somebody forgets the chips. So, you know, make sure you bring that. We're going to have a good time tonight. It's going to really be incredible. Some of your neighbors will come here, a guy play the piano and sing and entertain before they'll come to church. So it's a great opportunity for you to invite somebody to come celebrate the birth of Christ through concert, right? So let me really, really encourage you to come be a part of that this afternoon, okay? Hey, this is my favorite thing to do. Of everything that I have to do, this is my favorite thing that I get to do. Oakland, come up here. Tom and Mel, y'all come up here with me. This is Oakland, May. He comes this morning. He said, you know what? He said, God spoke to my heart this morning, and I want to just trust Him as the Lord of my life. He's coming this morning. I praise God for him this morning. And again, it's just evidence of God at work, right? And so I want you to come by and extend to him the right hand of Christian Fellowship. Let him know that you're going to be praying for him. This is a babe in Christ now. We have a responsibility to teach and to nurture and to grow and to pray for him. So if you'll do that, I want you to come by and let him know that, okay? All right. April and Chris, y'all come right up here. This is April and Chris from their cousins. Wishing to unite, be a part of our family here at Trinity. And Chris is coming this morning, professing Christ as the Lord of his life, desiring to be baptized and follow Christ and believe in baptism in the church. Come on up here, Doris. This is Mr. Doris. Ms. Doris, this is a package deal. I love package deals, you know. Buy one, get three free. And so Doris is coming this morning. She's desiring to come and be a part of our family here by way of letter as well. And so the church and all God's people said, amen. I'm really thankful for Ms. Doris coming. She's one of our neighbors as well. She lives just a couple blocks over. And she's probably heard me and Rhonda fussing at each other that far away. She thought I'm grateful for that. Come on up here. JB and Karen coming this morning as well, wishing to unite and be a part of our family here at Trinity. And the church and God's people said,
Amen.
Let me tell you, you never know how God works, okay? Now, I know we've been here, and but this is a real quick word of testimony. So I was pastoring a church down in Hattiesburg. Had some girls start coming in our youth group, and their daddy started coming. It was name was Jeff Stevens. And Jeff was in the military, and he was serving, he kept shelter. And Jeff started coming to our church, and Jeff and I developed a friendship. And Jeff got his heart right with the Lord, and we baptized Jeff. And not long after that, Jeff was diagnosed with cancer, passed away. His family was all from up in Iuka. You got to be in Mississippi to know where Iuka is, okay? And so they invited me to come up and do his service. This lady walks in our church one morning and says, "Hey, Brother Bill, my name's April. I'm Jeff's sister. We're looking for a church home." And so God was at work long before I ever even knew what was going on. Amen?
Amen.
And so her and Chris, I did their wedding a few weeks ago, and we were talking in the office, and Chris shared with me there his desire to just make Christ the Lord of his life, and to start this marriage off right. And so, how God works just through that. And then Karen and Doris are down here, and they're friends with her, and they're like, "Man, look, this is a package deal." So, you see, you never know. You never know when you minister to somebody, that ripple effect. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't God good? Come on now. Isn't God good? Amen. You can't get excited about this. You just can't get excited, right? I'm telling you, you lose with, man. I'm telling you. So, hey, listen, this morning, for whatever reason, maybe you were like, "No, I don't know, we've been here a while, it's kind of long, I don't want to do this." Don't leave the property today without having your heart right with God. Find Him before you leave here today. Amen?
Amen.
And come by and welcome these folks. Let's stand this morning. We're going to be dismissed for just a little while. Intermission, and then we'll be back at 6, okay? We'll be back at 6, all right? And so invite somebody, bring them back with you. Hey, I want each one of you now. What a joy. What a privilege. To have the honor of being your pastor. And I want you to feel free to call me anytime. I want you to know I'm here for you and I pray for you. I want to encourage you. And just anytime that I can be of help, I want you to call me. And I'm so excited. So excited to have you. Mike, we ought to be able to sing something.
Yes, indeed. And don't forget to double everything tonight, and I'm bringing a double cheese, man. All right, let's sing as we go. Go, may your spirit go before us. As we go, may we follow where you lead. May we live what we have learned. Share the message we have heard and be a light unto the world as we go.